Shalom. This is Billy Brim coming to you tonight from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And we're very excited out here because we have some special doings out on this mountain. We have people who have come here to learn about prayer. And Lucy McKee is a prayer that God uses to pray in very special ways about these last days, about things that are happening, and they've come here, and we're going to get with it in just a minute. I wish you were here, but you are here for Watching the Week in the Light of Bible Prophecy. Now, normally we watch what's been happening in Iran, Iraq, around the world, Russia, but tonight we're going to watch something that happened this week and has all the talk shows buzzing except one which has been silenced. And if that gives you a clue, we're going to talk about what happened to Don Imus. And I'm going to read to you from the Bible some things that cover this, that tell us it is a last day happening. The first one is 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, which says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." And then there's another scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." The conscience, I think, sometimes of America has been seared. Brother Hagin told a story that he used to preach when he was a young man out in the country. He'd walk miles out there, and they had a little country church. And the people who kept him up had a farm. And most of the people worked on that farm very early in the morning, got up and had breakfast. But Brother Hagin would have ministered the night before. And so he got up a little later, and the grandfather there on the farm got up late as well. And that grandfather, there was a pot sitting on the old stove making coffee. And it was bubbling. It was boiling hot. And Brother Hagin said that older gentleman would take that cup, that coffee, that hot coffee, pour it in that cup, down it, and Brother Hagin said it was so hot it burned me to watch him do it. But it didn't bother the older gentleman. Why? His esophagus, his swallowing apparatus was seared from much time of drinking that very hot coffee. And the Bible tells us that in the last days, people are going to be speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared. I think that America has had their conscience seared in some of the things that have been called, under the guise of freedom of speech, being a shock jock, being someone who can speak anything they want to, anytime they want to, into the air. But these things are not right, and they are not good according to the Word of God, but they are the signs of the times. I thought about when I heard all this about Imus, and I was watching that Rutgers, Tennessee basketball game. I didn't appreciate it that Ann Coulter said only one person was watching. I was watching, and lots of other people were watching. I am a sports fan, and I am especially a sports fan of girls basketball. And that little Rutgers team had just gone to town. I mean, I'd watched them all the way. Their coach, C. Vivian Stringer, had faced a lot of adversity during one playoffs. Her husband had died suddenly. She had a child, I believe, that developed MS, and she found about it during another playoff. And they just surprised everybody, and they should have been very much congratulated. And they reached the very finals where they were beaten by Tennessee. And so I wouldn't dare say what Mr. Imus said, and probably you have heard it if you've been watching any of the talk shows, what he said. Terrible things. Those kinds of things that are put out to shock, but they're wrong. They're wrong according to the Bible, and they should be wrong according to us, and we'll stand up and say that they are wrong. I remember years ago, Bill Moyers, a journalist, did a special for PBS. And his question, it lasted for weeks and weeks, and his question was, do you think that in 200 years, America, the democracy in America will survive, that we will still have be a democratic nation in another 200 years? It was about the time, a little after that, we were 200 years old. And he asked different people. He asked teachers, he asked lawyers, he asked ministers, he asked businessmen. And I remember what one man said, and that was Patrick Moynihan, Senator Patrick Moynihan. He said, no, I don't think it will exist in 200 years. Why? One word he said, respect. Democracy to exist demands that we respect one another, that we respect one another's rights, and we have respect for one another. There's something very terribly wrong when a culture respects disrespect. When we respect that people can go on the air and use the airwaves to talk about anyone just any way they want to. And now, of course, we know in the New Testament, for those of you who are watching, in the book of Ephesians, which is a book we've been studying a lot lately in light of authority of the believer, the Lord tells us with all this wonderful authority that has been given to us right at the right hand of the Father, he tells us what to do with our mouths. He tells us, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, grow up. And then he says, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. Such talk grieves the Holy Spirit. What is corrupt communication? Well, for one thing, it's those things that the shock jocks say. I used to have my little boy Terry used to ride rodeo, and they had in the backyard a barrel tied between the trees, and they would buck each other on that barrel to practice riding bulls. And some of his little rodeo friends would come over, and they would, what we call down in Oklahoma, Texas, cuss out in the backyard. So I'd take this scripture right out there to them. And I'd say, now, boys, it says here in the Bible, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Now, that includes cussing, cursing. So we don't let that happen out of our mouths here in this yard. I got a call from one of their mothers one night, and the young man had gone home, and he was not mad about it. He said, Mother, I never knew there was anything wrong with it. And so I think there's a whole generation out there that needs to know there's something wrong with the things that have been said. And for those of you who may be of Jewish heritage, and we do have Jews who watch this program, this is a book we sell in our book store, Chofetz Chaim. And I've sold this book and told people about this book. When I go down to make television with Copeland's, one of their men who's in authority there in the television department, he said this book changed his life. It's arranged for daily study, and it shows the concept and laws of proper speech. And from this sage that the Jews greatly respect, Chofetz Chaim, a lesson a day, and I'll just read you a little bit so you can get their view on it. This is not a book about your tongue. It is a book about your essence, the person Hashem created you to be. The laws of speech, the Bible's laws of speech, whose observance is capsulized in the timeless term Shmiras HaLashon, constitute God's plan for how people should live with each other. They are the tools that the Torah has given us to remove anger, bitterness, and jealousy from our hearts, and to eliminate strife, hurt, and divisiveness. When we examine the working of our words, we come to see that they, more than any other human capacity, define us. What we say and how we say it is who we are. Angry, hurtful words define an angry, hurtful person. Kind, considerate words define a kind, considerate person. And so then there are all the Bible laws in here about the tongue and about the great and wonderful society we could have if we would live by the Word of God. I saw some other things on the news that did have to do with world events. I saw that our government is very disappointed that the Shia and the Sunnis are not getting along better and faster in Iraq. They're not going to. But we'll just go by that quickly, and we'll tell you that what can we do about it? We can do what we're going to do right here on Prayer Mountain these 3 days, and what we do here every single week. We are going to pray. In the Old Testament, it tells to the Jews that if they will humble themselves and pray, God will heal their land. In the New Testament, it tells to the Christians, first of all, pray for those in authority. And so, as we are in these last days, which last of these, the end of days is what the Bible calls it, as we are at the end of these days and ready to cross over into another age, make sure you are a prayer. And we're coming to you today and saying shalom, shalom until next week. Shalom, shalom.